Now, you have power, status, control. So why do you need God?
That's when you need faith the most. When you're super successful. And if you're not grounded in something that's bigger than you, that got you all the things that you have achieved, you can lose your way very quickly.
I'm gonna win. You gonna win. Everybody around me winning. Yeah. Everything around me winning.
All right, listen, Encouraged Nation, I just want to say hello to you and greetings. And come on, we gonna what? Be strong and courageous. Listen, right now, I just want to tell you that I am what? The doctor, the counselor. I'm your friend. Come on. I'm your next door neighbor. I'm your cousin. I'm your nephew. I am that confidant. I'm that one you can talk to. I'm that one that you can be real with. I just want to tell you right now, come on, we gonna have honest conversation today. Why? Because I'm gonna tell you, we got an iHeart executive in the house. I want to tell you that Mr. Spencer Bynes is here, the president. I'm not talking about intern. I'm talking about the president who actually had to come by way of Houston, Texas into Atlanta, Georgia, where I am today. And he is one of my special guests. And this entrepreneur, this great man of God, the faith walk that he has, and the integrity, the character. I read his bio and I'm still reading, because there's so many things. But beyond that, his introduction, when I saw him, it was such a greeting of a brother to brother. Not that I'm on this level, but come on into my world. And the welcoming opportunity that he has showed me, the love, just in the short amount of time, speaks more than anything I can say. And that I'm so grateful that I'm here. And I hope you will pick up what I'm picking up, a genuine person, a man of God, a businessman with some knowledge that we all need. So I want to hear, come on, y'all. Encourage Nation, can you welcome him to the stage? Come on, Mr. Spencer. Say hello to the people.
Well, hello, everyone. And I am absolutely humbled by that introduction. I want to take you on the road with me and have you be my guy when you introduce me. What a great introduction.
I'll be your sidekick, man. Anytime.
Thank you so much for coming. I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, listen. Listen, both of us are close in age. Amen. Mm-hmm. I ain't going to say which one the oldest. Don't you DM me either. But anyway, because I might have to get you. But the other thing, we share the name Lamont, which, you know, many times the people don't know. And they always think about Sanford and
that. They're going to bring up the Sanford and stuff.
Yeah, they always give you the jokes on all of those things. But we're much smarter, I guess. And we're good-looking guys. Yeah, so that's always a good thing. And so as we're here, we're going to unpack some things. You know how I like to do it. I love to get to know who I'm talking to. And I love to pull stories out of them that has never really been told or just a little surface. We just kind of go down a road that we started doing, and we allow the Spirit of God just to move us down different paths and just to be able to flow into where it is that we need to. But we believe that everything that we will share will be information that needed to be out for this time. Someone is going to be looking at this broadcast. Someone is going to listen to this and say, wow, I don't know who those guys are, but maybe I need to figure out who they are. And so as we keep doing that, we're going to be open. And
sure.
We're going to release it. He's normally behind the scenes doing things, but now he's on the platform, which is good. And so one of the things I want to tell you, talk to me. How did you get started in this?
Wow, such a big question.
Yeah.
One, by the grace of God, probably would be the first way to start that, right? I was here about 25 years ago when this company was Clear Channel Media.
Okay. All right.
And I came in as the director of talent acquisition and talent management. So my job was to hire mid-level, senior-level executives, coach them up in their roles, and then also help them move through the organization. And so I did that about 6-7 years while I was here.
Mm-hmm.
And when private equity came in and bought the company, T.H. Lee and Bain and Company, I was like, wow. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to stay or not. And they was like, well, we can send you to San Antonio. We can send you to Chicago. We can send you, I forget where the other place was. And my wife's like, no.
You know,
we're native Texans. And so I was like, okay. So they said, well, hey, we'll give you a year severance if you want to leave. And I was like, where do I sign? Because I took that opportunity to start a business.
Okay.
And I started an executive coaching and executive search company called Ascendo International. Mm. It was in Houston, Texas. And I mean, we started that in the heart of recession, right? I think it was around 2009.
Wow.
And we quickly got up and running. I think I went and played golf for 2 weeks in the mountains in Sacramento with a friend of mine. Came back, wrote my business plan in about a week. Partnered with my former boss, who was the executive vice president for employee development within Clear Channel.
Okay.
So we had clients right out of the box because we traveled all over the country. We were supporting the top 40 markets. And so we had clients right out of the box, and we turned a profit in our second year. Third year, we were the fastest growing woman-owned business in Houston. And it just took off from there. Fast forward, I got recruited by a client that I was doing some executive coaching for. Yeah. They turned out to be like the largest HR services company on the globe, actually, Adecco really? Group. And I worked for a subsidiary there as Lee Hecht Harrison, and as an executive coach. And then I went in and started selling HR services and was able to do that successfully. Mm-hmm. And I always keep my LinkedIn up to date, and I keep my networks, fresh.
Don't talk about me, because my LinkedIn is not up to date.
you do the fashion coaching for me, and I'll do the LinkedIn coaching for you.
There it is.
And so in doing that and updating my LinkedIn, one of my former coachees who was running all of iHeart on the market side said, "Hey, I really need you to come back and do that coaching thing. Why don't you come back and run a few markets for me?" And I'm a very confident person, but at the time, I mean, my P&L was like maybe $1.5 million, at best $2 million.
Okay.
He wanted me to come back and run a $25 million organization. Mm. And I was like, wow, I don't know if I can do that. And he's like, no, you got it. Just do what you did before. And I said, okay, I kind of took a leap of faith, prayed about it. It was like, Lord, hey, you're making this way, so I know you ain't gonna make me. You're not gonna let me fall on my face.
Wow.
And so I took a leap of faith, and I ran 5 markets in Texas, what we call community markets, and it was about $25 million in revenue. And so it's a big operation. I had over 25 stations between those five markets. And we were at the bottom of our division, performance-wise. Mm-hmm. And so I had an opportunity to go in, do what I do in terms of assessing talent, finding out who should stay, who should go. And we turned it around in about a year and a half. And we went from the bottom of our division to the top of the division in about a year and a half. And actually got one of my markets got Market of the Year in that year. And then this Atlanta opportunity came about. And they said, "Hey, why don't you think about coming to Atlanta?" I was like, "Man, I've only been here like a year and a half." And we were talking earlier, right? Yeah. That's one of those God things where you're like, "Lord, I wish you didn't have so much faith in me." I was like,
"Wow,
that's way beyond, that's a top 10 market." This market had a reputation in the organization as this is where market presidents go to kill their career, because no one is very successful in this market. And so there was some hesitation and apprehension about coming here. And I talked to a lot of my personal board of directors. Should I do this? Should I move? Should I go? And they're like, yeah, you should do this. You should take an opportunity. And when I came here, we had some challenges with our brand in the market. You got every major market here or a major competitor here, Cox and Odyssey and Radio One and Cumulus, they're all here. They all have better radio stations than us. And in 2024, we were the number 2 revenue generator in this market. We led our company in pacing for the whole year, and we delivered over budget. So you're talking about a blessing, in a short period of time. I think I've been here a little over 3 years. Hmm. And been able to move quickly. So that's the quick elevator.
No, we call that the anointing.
I accept that. I receive that.
That's all we call that is that, again, everywhere you have placed your feet, you have taken territory. And that's biblical. And that's what God has already commanded us to do, is to go and to be able to trust him. If we could find our own way, we wouldn't need him.
That's right.
And
that's
he said, right. You got to trust on me every day. You got to acknowledge me. I'll make every crooked road straight. You don't see what's behind the corner. You don't know what's behind the hill, but it's going to work together for your good.
Absolutely. Well, I had a lot of errands.
Yeah. Absolutely. but I think we need the errands in order to understand the assignment.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because that means that I know exactly where I want to go and what I don't want to do. There's some deliveries I want to make, and there's some deliveries I probably never want to make again.
Yeah.
But it was necessary for me to appreciate the moment that I'm in.
Yeah. Well, I'm not likening myself to Moses, but I would tell you, I had all those doubtful things of like, I don't speak well, I don't do this or that. You know, Lord, I don't know about this, you know, the finance. I never managed the P&L. Had all the eyes. All those eyes, right?
And
but I had amazing people in each of those experiences, an amazing team here in Atlanta that, you know, could not have done all that I have done without all of them. So I, you know, my hat's off and I toast each one of them because they made it happen. Yeah. I was just the facilitator and the catalyst.
Wow. So rapid fire. I normally start out with that, but because we had such a relationship at Target, we kind of went in right on in. And what I'm going to ask you right now, rapid fire, where are you going to be in 5 years?
Oh gosh, in 5 years, I am going to maybe be doing what you're doing. I may have a podcast. I'm definitely going to be doing executive coaching at some level because that's what I got into this to do is to get a broader experience. And I'd love to coach rising executives who really look like me. Because at that time, I'll be able to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And so I want to bring coaching to rising Black professionals, male and female, who don't actually get that, you know, that opportunity in many of the corporate arenas.
Right. And so another rapid question, what do you think you can give to them?
You know, when I start a coaching engagement, I always say, what's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Right. And so knowledge is all about what you learn and what you read and what you hear. Wisdom is your butt in the chair, doing the job every day, taking the licks and you know, reaping the rewards. And so I think I bring wisdom and I bring a practical approach to, hey, I've been there. I've been where you are right now, and I've coached many who have been where you are. I've seen this movie.
I
know how it ends, or I know like five different versions of how it could end.
Wow. So are you a proponent of internship, people working from the bottom up, or are you a proponent of, I'm going to give it to you, and let's see whether or not if you are going to sink or if you're going to swim?
Great question. You got to meet people where they are. So I would say there's probably not a cookie cutter approach to it.
Like that.
Right? I meet people where they are. If they have enough intelligence, humility, professionalism, maturity, then I can meet them in an advanced level. That's what's awesome about coaching. You come in and you do an assessment and you say, okay, if there's five levels, you're at a three right now. So I can take you from that three to the five. But the work is the work. You cannot get around it. I don't care how much technology you add to it, whatever is shortcut. There are no shortcuts. And so, you know, the work is the work. And so I do believe in, you got to put in the time because what's the saying? You can be an inch wide and a mile deep, you know, of that vertical growth versus horizontal growth.
Yeah.
Many of my young colleagues, they want to grow vertical quickly, but they are not best in class, you know, in learning broadly, horizontally, or taking horizontal assignments to get more wisdom and experience. So I would say, the work is the work. You can't skip it.
How do you not allow this to go to your head?
Humility and if you're not... A faith-based leader is humbled every day. God will humble you very quickly if you let it go to your head. And I've had those humbling moments.
Wow.
I've had those moments where I might have that Peter spirit.
Cornelius, though.
You know, very quickly. But then having to come back and jump back into, oh, I need to slow down and observe, listen more. We're divinely designed, right? Yeah, we have two eyes, two ears.
Yeah.
We got one mouth. God has already designed us to do, you know, what we need to do. We just have to step back. So I think you got to have that humility, but you have to fall on your face. I think if you haven't failed many times, you're not really trying.
Mm. Wow.
And that failure,
it
builds that humility.
But why do we run from failure though? Why do we beat ourselves up when we take, I guess, the assumption that we fail? But then we have to also ask, who said you fail?
Yeah, man, you ask great questions. I'm used to being the interviewer, right, as a recruiter, but you ask great questions. There's a saying I had that my team probably is so tired of hearing, but it's if you do the hard things, life gets easier.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose the easy things, life is going to be hard.
Yeah.
And so I think people run from, you know, they run and they have that fear because they don't want to do what's hard. And you have to, in order to achieve a level of success, you know, at this level, you have to do the hard things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I tell my people also is, you don't do what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
You do what you know.
Yeah.
Obedience is better than sacrifice, right? Yeah. So being obedient a lot of times, when you're getting up, and, you know, even if you're taking it out of the spiritual and put it into the physical of, you know, we're getting up in age, but we look so great.
It's
because we don't eat sometimes what we want to eat.
Yeah.
Because we know we can't.
Right.
You know, we get up and we do our exercise because we know we need a healthy heart, healthy mind,
healthy
body to withstand the slings, the arrows, the challenges, and all those things that come at
that
us
warfare,
every day, right? That warfare every day. Mm. So stepping away from what you know, the feeling part, is I think what helps people overcome the fear.
Yeah.
Because hey, if you're faith-based,
I
wouldn't be here if he didn't think I could handle it.
Right.
So everything that's happening to me is designed for my good and for my benefit, for my learning, for my growth. So whatever's coming at me, I'm not tripping about the process because the process is what I'm supposed to be going through.
Wow. And the process is what we like to get away from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We like to take some ingredients out of the process, but you'll never get the end result if you're removing things that should be in it in order for it. And that's why they call it the process.
That's right.
Because it's got a process. It's got to go through some formation, some transformations in order to be the creation that it's created to be. And so we have to understand that, you know, like the washing machine, when you start to think about the agitation, the water, the cycles that it go through, the spinning, the ringing, you know, it's not supposed to look like where it started. It's supposed to change. And it change, it comes because we've gone through processes.
Yeah.
And we've gone through channels. And that's what gives us the end result, which is, I don't look like what I've been through.
Absolutely. And I told you, I'm a country boy, right? Yeah. So I'm from Texas and born and bred, proud Texan. If you know, I always had these crazy sayings from Texas, right? You know, if you've ever had a biscuit that's been half cooked, when you break that biscuit open, it's all yucky and doughy on the inside. But if you let it go through that process of that baking process and the heat that it takes that is required to make that biscuit of an amazing, delicious, fluffy,
absolutely,
you know, delectable piece of bread, got to go through the process.
Mm.
And you got to have the patience to let the process do what it does.
Mm. So many of us are walking around half cooked,
half baked.
Half baked. Wow.
Yeah.
Instead of staying in the oven a little while longer. The heat might get a little hotter.
Yeah.
But normally it stays on the same temperature. Because if you set a temperature for 350, it's 350.
Yeah.
It's going to still be the same temperature. It's just how long you have to stay in it.
Absolutely.
And many times we want to come out and we think the temperature is getting hotter, but it's not.
It makes you wonder if society, well, I know that this is a temporary plane, right? This is not our home.
Yeah, right.
But it just seems like it continues to be more geared toward the enemy than toward our Savior, and that I'm going to give you everything you need as fast as possible. Yeah, yeah. You don't have to wait for anything. All your pleasures, all your senses can be, you know, tantalized. Right. Yeah. I'm gonna do all those things.
Yeah.
And so now it's that instant gratification. Mm-hmm. It's that, hey, I want it now, instead of having, you know, some patience to get those things that are worthwhile.
Mr. Spencer, I'm telling you, when I was looking at that, and as growing a podcast and growing your page, I didn't like social media, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm having to eat my words now, encourage. You know, I was like, no, they're not going to like it. They don't want to share it. Da, 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 da. So you get all in your mind, like people sure. don't want it. But they're saying more people are watching you than you know it. And so having to talk yourself out of certain things that God has already ordained.
Yeah. And what's beautiful about podcasting, and if I can do a quick commercial, iHeart started this thing, you know, and has grown it into a multi-billion-dollar mm-hmm. industry. And what I love about podcasting is it allows you to talk to your tribe.
Yeah.
There are people out here that want to hear this message. Yeah. And they'll want to hear you. And they want to hear that authentic voice. Wow. And what you bring to it. So the more you are of who you are, mm-hmm. the more you're going to gather all these other people. And so as long as you stay disciplined, stay on point of being authentic about who you are and the message that you have and what you have been created to deliver, they'll come.
Yeah.
They'll absolutely come.
Well, and this opportunity right here came, you know, when you start to say, God, if it's your will, you're directed.
Yeah.
You're guided. And to get the message, and I'm trying to tell somebody today, you don't want to hang up the phone before you hear the whole message. And what I heard was God saying, I need you to go to Atlanta. Mm. It's going to be things there that you don't know that's set up for you. Just go.
Wow.
Your name never came up.
Isn't that amazing?
Never came up. It was just, yeah, radio, things of that nature. And I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. You know, Jay was just telling me about that, you know, and celebrity media, celebrity TV and all of that. He was telling me about it. And I was like, okay, cool. And then he was just giving me some enlightenment. And then to get here, he said, okay, well, I was in the air on my way here. See, sometimes we are in the air, en route,
mm-hmm.
but we discredit what we're going to land into. And I got the message to say I would have this opportunity to have to talk to you. Satellite radio, different things. I aspire. I'm mm-hmm. just trying to get two people on social media. You're talking about these are millions of people, billions.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm saying, wow, God, you just know how to do what you do and to encourage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so even for me, as I come to speak and to tell listeners, viewers, hey, be encouraged, come on. And that's why I changed it to IN and encourage. It's because I want you to look inward.
Yeah,
I want you to see like what's that. On the inside. I want you to see that some of us, and I actually flipped my C. So that means that sometimes we look like we are inverted inside out, but I need you to see that you still have value.
Yeah.
And you have purpose. And that's really what this is all about. And when we see also people that look like us, and that's not a knock on anyone.
Sure.
But there are a lot of seats we have not been able to take at the table. But when we do get to the table, how do we help another one get to the table? What do you believe in about mentoring and helping others get to the table as to where you are?
Well, I mean, let's start with my name. Hmm. Spencer is an English word that means steward.
Steward.
So giving the Lord giving me these opportunities, I'm now this steward of all of these resources and all of this access.
Hmm.
So there's a great deal of responsibility there with regard to even my namesake, right? As I look at that, and I think I'm built for coaching. That's my first love. I'm just actually an executive coach who got an opportunity to be a market president, and being the first Black market president in Atlanta blew my mind when I found that out. But then the connection of all of the history and all of the leaders that have come out of this city, and who are evolving and developing and growing in the city now. It's such an honor to be here at this time, but then also to be prepared for the opportunity, because that mentoring and opportunities for internships, those are opportunities that are not always given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, to those who look like us. But there's also people that are in these roles as market presidents who are not always even interested in, you know, regardless of, you know, what their affiliations are, aren't always open to providing those opportunities.
Yeah.
And iHeart is such an amazing place where if you have the talent, you know, I say this to a friend of mine all the time, that performance provides privilege.
Mm.
And so when you connect all of the opportunities I've had to perform at a high level, if I wasn't doing that, I wouldn't be able to do this.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and so I don't take that for granted.
Mm. So one of the things that I as we were talking, man, I just thought about my dad, who has transitioned, but he was under pressure. I mean, he's one of the first to go here, one of the first to open up big businesses and to sit at tables that a lot of us were not.
It's a great legacy.
But the pressure, he succumbed to alcoholism. Mm. So my father transitioned because of cirrhosis of the liver. You know, when the people stop clapping for you, and I guess the secret comes out, and you're dealing, suppressing those things that actually were hidden,
mm-hmm.
but needed to be dealt with. And so one of the things I would ask you, how do you handle the pressure?
One, I think I have an inverted view of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Of pressure to me is, I wouldn't have pressure if there wasn't expectation of performance.
Mm-hmm.
So pressure's not a negative thing to me.
Okay.
It's a motivator, it's a catalyst. I think of pressure as, you know, diamonds are made from pressure.
Yeah. Oh my,
you know,
that's good.
So I look at pressure as an expectation of my performance.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, and I didn't learn this until I was probably in my late 30s, is people's opinion of me is none of my business.
Mm.
So as a leader, you got to get there. I don't know how you get there. It's an individual journey for everyone. But again, if you look at how society is built now,
right,
with all of the social media and all those things about likes and, you know, people being in your DMs and
yeah.
all these things, and, you know, how many hits you're getting. And I mean, hey, that's our business. But when you look at that on a personal level, that doesn't matter. So you have to be hyper-focused on leading and what your purpose here is. And it's an opportunity. I don't lose, I learn. So if I don't hit a goal, I didn't lose.
Right.
I just learned there are gaps that I have that I need to close those gaps for the next opportunity that's coming, because the next opportunity is going to come.
Yeah.
You know, and so now I have a new education on that. So people who are in that pressure mode, they really need to kind of turn, as you said, inward, right? Mm-hmm. Of your biggest enemy. There's another, I'm big on sayings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that your biggest enemy is your inner me, right?
Enemy.
Of like all that self-talk, self-hate, yeah. doubt. I had some of it as well. You gotta find a way to get those voices out of your head and fill your head with other voices.
Mm-hmm.
So as a man thinketh, so is he.
Right, yes, sir.
You know, I mean, if you studies show yourself approved. You got to constantly have your mind on those things above and not yeah. here. Mm-hmm. You know, those are all, we got all the instruction we need.
Right.
We have it.
Right.
You know, he's telling you, you got to be focused on me and focus on what I have for you and the purpose that I have for you. And if you focus on that, none of that other stuff will even matter.
Right. So it's almost like, don't read the comments.
Yeah, hey, I had a high school football coach said, never read your own press and never smell your own butt.
Oh, my God. That's really good. never.
And so if you don't read your own press, I mean, you get caught up in that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
you can't. Yeah. You absolutely can.
And I hear a lot of times when, you know, you talk to, you know, celebrity or you talk to people to read, and I say, wow, you know, when I look at some, you know, government officials, different, I was like, my goodness, how in the world would you even be able to get up every day knowing what people are saying? But then there's a remnant of people who are saying whatever you want them to say. But again, that balance of understanding who you are, whose you are, and what your purpose is really important and vital when you're on a journey.
Absolutely. And I ain't gonna lie, it hurts.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it bothers me when people have negative things to say about me. I'm a human being.
Absolutely.
You know, but it's kind of like you got to remember who you are, whose you are, and, and you know, I have daily rituals that I put in place to wash out the negative and infuse the positive. You if you're not rinsing yourself mentally and physically, you know, it's going to be tough.
Now, when you're talking about, like, you seem like you're an avid reader and that you continue to read. If you had to recommend a book to someone who's just trying to find their footing or regain or continue their journey or fight, is there any book that you say other than the Bible?
Yeah.
What would you say?
Gosh, there's a lot. There's a lot.
Or any author that you would say?
Kevin Cashman.
Okay.
Is an executive coach. He wrote this book called Personal Mastery.
Personal Mastery.
And it's a workbook. It's a coaching workbook. And I use it in my coaching practice all the time. And it talks about you really having that self-talk and self-examination, self-assessment, and giving you tools to assess yourself and assess where you are, if you can be objective with it. And each chapter is even says at the end, if you didn't understand what you just read, go back and read it again.
Reread it.
You know, and so that book, I think, is a great one for the topic that we're talking about, just in terms of coaching and mentoring and some of the self-help. I just read a book, Living Good Daily by Dr. Blake Livingood, because the nutritional, you know, health is paramount for me right now, because this job takes a lot physically. It takes a lot. And so I had to really look at my diet and look at how can I sustain myself and continue to achieve at a high level for the amount of hours it takes to be, you know, on point and perform at my highest peak. And so that's another one that I would recommend as well.
So you mentioned something. You mentioned work. You mentioned hours. You mentioned performance at levels. How many hours a week are you working?
I should tease. I have two jobs. I work for iHeart and then I work for this other guy. I'm not going to say his name, but he knows who he is. one of my amazing key clients. So I tease him all the time. But probably 20, 25 hours. You know, it seems like 20, 25 hours a day, but I'm going to say probably, I don't know, 80 to 100 hours a week.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it's hard to say because I'm always working. Because I love what I do. So even though I'm not in this office, whoever I'm talking to is either a potential connection, a potential client, or some you know, some type of networking connection. So I don't ever turn it off. So it's kind of, I started that when I started my company, just kind of got into that mode of you're always working. And so it's hard to say.
I could understand that because my wife says it all the time to me.
Yeah.
She's like, turn it off. And I'm like, I'm trying. But it seems a natural part.
Because my day starts at 4:30.
Yeah.
I'm up at 4:30 in the gym, you know, by 5. Yeah. I'm out of the gym by 6.
Yeah.
I'm doing my devotional and motivational stuff, you know, from 6 to 7. And I'm in the office by 7:30. And I typically don't leave here until 7:30 or 8.
Wow.
You know, so it could be 20 hours a day. You know, I mean, so it's you know, not all the time. Right. But I think work-life balance is very important.
Yes.
Spiritual balance, you know, you have to have to schedule enough time for all of it because it all matters.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm doing what I love to do.
Makes a difference.
Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think I was going to be doing it at iHeart.
Yeah.
You know, because people ask me what I do and I was like, Well, I still coach for a living. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what I feel like I do.
Right.
I just do it through a market president role, mm-hmm. you know, and if I'm not coaching the people on my team, I'm coaching my clients on how to build their business.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's all coaching to me.
Now we have to talk before you get in trouble. Your main coach or your that's coaching you, your wife.
Mm-hmm.
How is that relationship? When it comes down to
you,
all,
now you just touched a nerve. All right,
hours and things.
So now that you're getting into that, like, oh, I'm going to ask questions that you know that may not come out before. So in full transparency, so I was married for 29 years.
Okay.
And just recently divorced.
Okay.
And so I would tell you, and you know, every guy out there, it's better to stay married.
Right. Yeah, okay.
If you can, work it out.
Okay.
So I would give you that advice. But I would tell you, I had a very supportive wife. Right. We just became incompatible. But I would say you got to have that partner who understands you, who supports you, who really gets you. And I would think for men who have a lot of ambition and have a vision, I've been everything but a pastor in churches, and I've helped start two churches. And I mean, that you know, the work of the Lord can tax your relationships as well. So I'd say my wife was always supportive of me and is an amazing woman. We just got to a crossroad where, you know, it was really tough because that's a commitment to God that we made. And so that's a tough time. And I have two daughters but I would say your partner matters because sometimes you're going to have to give and sometimes you're going to have to ask to be given to. And sometimes it isn't always going to be even. And you can't, you know, try to use the word of God to go, you know, well, you're supposed to be submissive and you got to do this. I mean, it's a partnership. I tell the young guys here, I was like, look, if you find the right woman, she was actually pulled from your rib cage.
Wow.
So, you know, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. If you're arguing with your wife, you're actually arguing with yourself. I went through lots of, you know, counseling and trying to make it work, and it just didn't work for me. But I would I still would say it is better to be married. Mm-hmm. It is better to be in a monogamous relationship where you can depend on someone to be your constant, your confidant, your refuge. And for Black men, you know, if you're battling all day, and then you got to come home and battle, man. That's tough for people who are leaders. I always used to wonder what Coretta was like. I wonder what Jackie O was like. I wonder what, you know, just all these different leaders, you know, who had incredible women with them. I was like, what were they like in order to allow, because they had to sacrifice so much in order for that man. Or on the other side of a man, you know, who has a very powerful wife, there's a lot of sacrifice there. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of that in the church with pastors and ministers.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And it is that. And so I can share, you know, that I have been married before. This is my second marriage where we'll be celebrating 28 years this year. But before, again, ambition, different things, great woman, but we had different paths, different things. And My oldest son from that relationship, amazing. He's doing some amazing things now. So I never regret, you know, going down that path or those opportunities. And I hear you say the same thing, which is amazing, that we're not going to slander and cut them up. Because I feel like this, if you love them for a period of time, why would we want to kill them?
Absolutely.
It's no need. Even though we may have had some silent, you know, arguments, battles, and whatever the case is, respect is respect.
Absolutely. There's this time in your life where every stage of your life is going to require a different version of who you are.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to be open to allowing that evolution to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that evolution happens in conjunction with your partner.
Yeah.
In some ways it doesn't.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, you know, you have to be, it goes back to that confidence around and laser focus on who you want to be and what you're there to do. Mm-hmm.
So I hear you saying, I know that you're saying, I'm still going through some different things, but I still believe I will love again as far as to
absolutely.
A partner at some point in time again. And you believe, you know, because sometimes we go through certain things, right? And we be like, oh, never mind. I'll never be committed to anyone. I don't want to have that. Oh, it was this, it was that. And, you know, and a lot of times I tell people, you're lying to yourself because we all want to be loved. I don't care who you are.
Absolutely.
And when you put yourself in a box like that, I believe you are being false and untrue to yourself many times because you haven't found the right person. And anybody who finds the right person is going to bring out the best of you. If not, you'll just be the you are forever. But we were created to cohabitate and to just bring things out of one another to make them be better. And also the blind spots, things you can't see that they can see.
Absolutely.
And help you to grow. So,
I mean, we were created out of love. Yeah. I mean, we were created out of the greatest love example ever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so how could we not crave that? We're beings that were created out of that love. So I don't know how anyone couldn't crave that love.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that you look at. And I think, you know, we as men, you know, a lot of times say, yeah, well, we can do this and we can be very tough and, you know, and going through that. And we love that. But it's nothing like having the right connection, right spouse. When we open ourselves up and we become vulnerable.
Yeah.
Say, it's okay. It's okay not to be tough every day.
That's
it's okay to cry on the shoulder. It's okay to say you're not feeling well. It's okay to be able to allow someone to take care of you or to be a companion for you. It's okay for you not to have to be the king that day.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you just kind of ebb and flow as life comes at you.
Yeah.
I totally agree. There are many days I go home and go, what did I do? how did I make this? And there's all the self-doubt and all those things. All of those things happen. It's being human.
Yeah.
Right. And it's being imperfect beings. That should be leading you back to your faith.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Whatever.
You gotta understand, for me, it's leaning back toward Jesus Christ, going, I know you died for me. I know that you have a plan for me. I know that you won't forsake me. It's those things that you gotta hold on to when all of those things that you mentioned, when those come along, I don't know how people survive without it.
Wow. And this is where I say, now you have power, status, control, financial, I'm quite sure. So why do you need God?
For all of those reasons that you said, and then when you have all of that wealth, power, access, then you can do whatever you want to do. Mm. You know, there's a saying that money makes you more of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you need faith the most.
Wow.
'Cause when, you know, I try, you know, when I'm out, I try not to tell anybody who I am or what I do. I got a podcast. I try not to tell people that. But I think when you're super successful, you see these people who just have ungodly wealth that they can do whatever they want. They start to do some crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not grounded in something that's bigger than you, that got you all the things that you have achieved, you can lose your way very quickly. I think, you know, when you're poor and you don't have everything, I almost feel like you pray a little bit more.
Yeah.
But when you get more, you know, I see a lot of people pray a little less.
Yeah.
You know, so that's by design, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I used to tell the congregation a lot of time. I've seen many people come into church and not have a lot, you know, or not have anything. But then I watched them get what it is that God has for them. And then I watched them slip backwards, move left, move right. Or, oh, my seasons. And you're like, whoa, what was the season a year ago, 6 months ago? You know, different things like that. So when you made that statement again, you know, so it's almost like rolling a ball down, you know, a bowling alley, right? And you remember those gutters that you can do as a mm-hmm. little kid? They'll put up the little brackets
there.
So the bumpers can stay in here. So it's like your faith is helping to keep you inside the lane.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's why, you know, I used to joke. I was like, yeah, I know all these people in the Bible were black
mm-hmm.
because some of the attitudes and that selective memory that they have. Well, I got mine, you get yours.
Yeah, right.
Or no, I don't know that. I don't know him. I ain't never seen him.
Ain't never seen him. I was like, you gonna deny me. Yeah, you are three times before we get
it. It had to be black. I mean, it was like Moses had to defend everybody. Look, Lord, don't kill him. I remember reading that going, wow, not one time, but a couple times. Yeah. He was like, don't kill him. How are you going to get your glory if you kill him? I was like, dude, these are some black people.
You
could just cross the Red Sea.
Like I was saying, like Eve was a sister because he was cheap because when the thing was coming in, it was like, well, God didn't actually tell me that. He was saying, but don't do that. But he didn't say I couldn't do that, though.
Exactly.
He said I couldn't do that. You know, it's like, how we can transition or transform things into what we want it to be.
Absolutely. If you take that back to kind of the corporate environment of once you've made that path and you've gotten there, you're obligated, I feel like.
Mm.
And that might be something generationally that we're losing. But I see it here in Atlanta, which is amazing. You were asking me earlier about Atlanta, and I see young, 25-year-olds, 30-year-olds who are providing access to other young people, which is awesome.
Mm.
And so I'm seeing that, but I'm like, you have an obligation.
Yeah.
To if you get there, you got to reach back and get a couple more.
I like
you
that.
You got to provide that opportunity to keep the cycle going.
Yeah. My goodness. Encourage Nation, you already know I'm out of time. But this is a .. that sitting here with him and I won't say President Spencer, just, you know, it just sounds so illustrious. You know, being able to hear the knowledge, the word, the wisdom that's coming forth, the integrity and the character, all biblical. And to see a man of God walk in this journey, it's an honor. To be
Thank
able to sit on this side of the table and to have had this conversation with you. And I want to believe we're going to speak this into existence. This is not my last conversation with him because there's an entrepreneur. There's a young person. There is a sister. There is a person who may have fallen down. They feel on their way, their direction. They're going to need to hear this.
Absolutely.
That there's Absolutely. A Spencer here.
Well, hey, I have been given a lot.
Yeah.
To whom much is given, much is required.
Absolutely. Right?
So I am honored and I thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit of my story.
Yeah. Well, iHeartRadio, thank you again and Encourage Nation. I thank you for allowing us into your homes, on your podcast. And I'm telling you, this is one of those messages that you need to share. You need to like, comment. Why? Because you have two brothers sitting here talking together. Right?
Absolutely.
We're not in the jails.
Absolutely.
We're not on the street corner. We're not swagging with our pants hanging down, but we're sitting here having an honest dialogue. Don't we want to hear honest dialogue
Absolutely.
Anymore?
Absolutely. We need more of those
We
messages.
Need more candid conversations and direction. And so I hope that this is going to spark a fire, that we'll continue to keep this going, that we will want to fill the airways, like our heart, with great information for us to be able to tune in. And so today, I just want to say, Encourage Nation, I thank you so much for joining us. I thank you, iHeartRadio. I thank you again for this opportunity. And so we're looking forward to doing other things. So remember, I'm the doctor, I'm the counselor, I'm your friend, I'm your nephew. Come on, I'm your next door neighbor. I'm your confidant. You know who I am. Let's be strong and courageous. I see you again. Thank you again for tuning in.
I'm going to win. You going to win. Everybody around me winning. Yeah. Everything around me winning. Yeah.